Hey there, it's Colt Cabana. Thank you so much for checking out the past shows from the archives. All the past ones in this feed are ad-free. I took out all the ads. If this is something you like, you can listen to every single episode of the Art of Wrestling podcast dating back to 2010, absolutely ad-free for only $4 a month on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/Colt Cabana. All right, enjoy the show.
This is the Art of Wrestling with professional wrestler Colt Cabana.
All right, how you guys doing? Come on in, sit down, relax. You're about to listen to the Art of Wrestling, a professional wrestling podcast. It's a life podcast. It's personal journals and entryway into the minds, the souls, the hearts, and lives of the people involved in the world of professional wrestling. I am your host. My name is Colt Cabana. I'm a podcaster. I'm a traveler. I'm a commentator. I'm an author. I'm a video maker. Most importantly, though, I am a professional wrestler. I am coming to you live from my studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. Before we go any further, this is a fan-supported and listener-supported podcast supported by people just like you. We give it to you free of charge every single Thursday. ColtCabana.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts from. Couple great ways that you can support, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Tell a friend, tweet it out, Facebook it out. Best way that you can support, though, ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com, t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, DVDs, digital downloads, premium podcast, The Wrestling Road Diaries 1, 2, and 3, and a children's book. Also, as the holidays come, I have Sarah Shockey Christmas and Hanukkah cards that I will be sending out with holiday orders. All available, ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com. All right, what should we get into? Remember, before Thanksgiving, Marty and I are doing a comedy show in Chicago at the North Bar, 8 o'clock. It's only $10. I know I said Sarah Shockey is making those Christmas and Hanukkah cards again. Don't be surprised if she shows up, or maybe some characters that sound like her in some kind of way. Always a fun way to bring in Thanksgiving. Jay White is the guest this week. New Zealand's own Jay White, the Switchblade. Do they call him the Switchblade now? Are you a big fan of New Japan Professional Wrestling? If you are, then you know there's big things in the future for Jay White. I think this is one of those where in 5-10 years, there will be archives, there will be this podcast sitting on YouTube, and you'll be like, oh, wow. Remember Jay White before it all blew up, before it all happened? He was talking with Colt in a hotel in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They were just hanging out. Those were the times before Jay White wouldn't even talk to anybody because he was so popular. I'm just making up fables now. The Jay White fable story. He does have a fun story, and he tells the story of how he got back into pro wrestling. And I do know he was like, well, I've kind of said it on other podcasts, but I don't talk about WWE because Ring of Honor sends me to do press and whatnot. And I think a lot of us as wrestlers take for granted that we do some other press, but not everybody's listening to everything and not everybody's listening to every podcast. And, you know, gratefully and thankfully, there's a handful of you guys out there who this is just kind of a thing that you always listen to. Maybe you don't listen to other podcasts, or you gave up on other podcasts, or who knows, but you've been with me for a long time and you enjoy my soothing sounds. So you listen to chats with me and my guests. And this is maybe, you know, one of the only ways you get information about wrestlers and their stories, at least in terms of a long form situation. So I look forward to you hearing the first time for some of you guys, the way Jay White got back into wrestling and his story overall. New Zealand to England to Japan to America. And for me, it's a romantic way. There's so many wrestlers out there who just want it so fast and just want it to happen now. And there's other people like Jay White out there who just travels from country to country like a misfit, like a globetrotter, a journeyman, just trying to make something happen for his dream, not caring. We can do that in our youth. And he's still so young and it's still amazing. We could do that in our youth. We could just kind of give it all up and just see what happens. And that's what he did. And it's a really fun story for Jay White. My weekend was kind of crazy. I woke up super early Thursday, headed to Los Angeles, then headed to San Francisco. Then I literally flew across the whole country, crisscrossed the country from San Francisco, California to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's from the top left to the bottom right. I literally went from the flight to an autograph signing that I did in hopes of raising some money for the victims or the people, the relief fund of Puerto Rico. We raised over $1,500, Ian and I, along with Rocky Romero and Bobby Cruz, brought his 8x10s and signed for some people over there in Lakeland. It was a rough week. Let me tell you something. Bar wrestling and all pro wrestling, San Francisco and LA, were just the times of my life. I love wrestling so much. I loved wrestling in front of those crowds. Those were two completely different shows. Los Angeles is called Bar Wrestling, an intimate show. Everybody's standing. The booze is flowing. And it was kind of the first time I've been in like that proper Los Angeles in a while. I used to wrestle for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla every month, basically. I was on their very first show. I wrestled for them all the time. And when I got released from WWE, the very next day, I was in Reseda wrestling at PWG. And, you know, stuff happens, I guess, and I'm no longer part of that team. So it's been a while, and it was nice that I could wrestle, I feel, in front of that similar crowd or those fans who don't get to see me that often since I haven't been in Reseda. And then APW is at the Cow Palace. I wrestled at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, and it was this giant arena wrestling. And I know I always champion the idea of small wrestling versus arena wrestling, and it felt that way. It really did. There was some kind of weird disconnection for me where I felt I was putting on this bigger play as opposed to having people involved in my match like I did at Bar Wrestling when I grabbed a man and brought him into the ring and used him as a shield. And he loved it, by the way, because I had an incident at AAW a couple weeks ago where I took a man's phone for texting the whole time, and he basically told me I owed him $500. And when I went to give it back to him with a smile on my face and maybe a little cheeky line, he said, quote unquote, "I don't want your fucking sweat on my phone. Get the fuck away from me." And that made me kind of rethink the idea of crowd participation and involving the crowd. And it was really sad. It was a sad moment for me, the promoters, for the idea of a front row wrestling fan wanting to be at a show. And I did. I did think about, God, do I even want to involve people in my matches anymore? And then instinct just kicked in and I grabbed this guy at Bar Wrestling, and afterwards we actually talked about that, and he had the biggest smile on his face and he loved it. He was so happy. And that's what I thought. That's what I think, that these are moments that you want to have when coming to an independent wrestling show. Well, the guy at AAW, he didn't feel that way. And it made me think, I think that guy, you know, there's pockets of people who just don't like me. They don't like my attitude. They feel I'm a dickhead, and I felt that this was one of those people. And sadly, I had another incident where a fan who really liked me. He met me, and he kind of made a comment that I was disengaging at the Puerto Rico relief thing in Fort Lauderdale, which hurt my heart a little bit. And these aren't excuses. But again, I had no sleep last week. I told you that my grandmother passed away. And thank you for all the messages, but the messages weren't what I needed. I mean, I wasn't fishing for grandma, I'm sorry, messages. She was 99 years old, lived like a champ. The thing that did hurt me was, Friday and Saturday, I missed the funeral and sitting Shiva because I was on the schedule. And sitting there signing the autographs with no sleep, pardon the term, dead to the world, also knowing that I was missing my grandmother's funeral and the Shiva process, it all weighed on me. And I tried, I tried to keep on a fun persona. And when I'm talking to this guy, he's like, you know, you weren't a dickhead. You just weren't there. And it was super negative. And we were all kind of talking about it. And it hurt, you know, he said it hurt his experience meeting me. And that's how these reputations start. That's how people say They go to YouTube, they go to the comment sections, they go to Twitter, they go to Facebook, and they say Colt Cabana was a shithead, or this person was a shithead. And it's hard, because every time I can't go there, I can't say, hey, I've been waking up at 4 a.m. every single day, I had zero sleep, my grandmother passed away, I missed a funeral. I'm also questioning what kind of fucking person I am that I'm missing a funeral of my family to do this job. And it's not that I'm so, I guess it is that I am so, I don't know if it's dedicated or that like there's so many flights and so many connections and so many pieces of that puzzle and promoters that worked on this whole trip that if I was to pull one piece, like don't break the ice, everything would fall. And that's no excuse. I should be home with my family. And I told my family and they were like, absolutely not. You know, you were with your grandmother on her dying days, you were with her. And I was at the hospital, for a couple of days before, she passed. And I, thankfully I had the support of my family who completely understood and said, go, go, go. And they said, it's not even a question. And so it still weighed on my mind. I kind of felt like a shithead. And then I felt like a shithead because I'm giving out these bad experiences. And believe me, I'm not looking for you or anybody. Please, I don't even want to hear a tweet or an email or anything like that. But this is me expressing my feelings, or this is me expressing the lifestyle of a wrestler on this scene. And I hope you guys understand and are empathetic. Don't see me as pathetic, which I know you don't. And that's why I love you guys. You guys have been with me for so long. You've listened to the show for so long. And I truly do appreciate the core listeners to this show and people that enjoy this kind of spiel that I do. I'm about to do a spiel with my friend Jay White, my new friend who I met maybe the last year as he became part of the Ring of Honor roster and now has headed back to New Japan, where he will face Tanahashi at the Tokyo Dome. And I'll be there for that, not because I'm wrestling at the Tokyo Dome, but I'm wrestling for DDT the night before. And you know I'm going to sneak my way right in and watch that show. Hopefully some of you guys are there. You could say hello. But I say we get into this talk with Jay White. The song of the week is by A La Mathematics and Eddie Brock out of California. Find him on Instagram and Twitter at EddieBrock661 and support his music over at EddieBrock661.com. The song's called Villain Instrumental. Enjoy it, and we'll be back with Jay White.
As a kid, I thought I was heavyweight champion. Sid Vicious, the narcissist, Lex Luger, with metal plates in my arms. Sweet Chin Music, the Marty Jannetty, through glass windows. The genius, I'm Lenny Poffo with the cap and tassel. Bobby the Brain, insane like Abdullah the Butcher. Bruiser Brody, take you nobodies out on the stretcher. Scotty Flamingo, blow the whistle like he Real Alfonso. A road warrior with spikes on my shoulder pads. I bust ass like I was rolling with Kevin Nash. Strike a pose, paint your torso, then proceed to laugh. Ha-ha. Zero tolerance for bullshit. The four horsemen taking over, styling and profiling. My crew is wild and Hulk Hogan. We coming for you, nigga. The dungeon of doom. We clear out rooms like wild buffoons. Better believe it. The nature boy strutting like Ric Flair with robes on, hoes on each shoulder, and ain't nobody colder. I strike fear in the heart of many men. Just the mention of my name is like a cardinal sin. Yeah. It's a global takeover, rock a mask like Dr. Wagner. Dr. Jeff, Steve Williams with the Gorilla Press. Mr. Fuji, throw salt in your eyes. To your surprise, I was plotting your demise with the double cross. Sharp shooter, the excellence of execution. If I get offended, then I'm calling out my reinforcements. Catch me in the steel cage. In this day and age, we modern day barbarians. That's the way the story's played.
Tired?
Yeah, I was just napping as well.
Did I wake you up?
I think I had an alarm set, but quite often I...
you don't know how these...
Am I meant to be talking to this now?
Yeah, you're talking to it. You just don't know how American phones work. It's a little too...
I'm not very good when I get woken up either by alarm or by someone else. I'm like not functioning. I'm at about 20% of actually knowing what's going around or what's going on around me. So I like just do the alarm by habit.
So one of the big things as a grown-up now... How old are you?
25. I was 25 just over a week ago.
So you're, I don't even know if you're a grown up, but me, yeah. As I, oh, happy birthday, bud.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks.
As I've decided I'm a grown up, one of the big things about my life and the way I wanted to go moving forward was that I didn't want to have to wake up with an alarm. Like that was a life goal I set for myself.
Yeah.
The idea of just like, I can wake up whenever I wake up, and it's pretty, that works as a wrestler.
I wouldn't feel comfortable just like relying on that. Like having like a flight in the morning, I'm just like, am I going to see an alarm? Nah, I'm just going to test myself.
I don't. I think the monks can do that.
Right.
I just mean in terms of, and well, I'm saying when I travel for wrestling, that kind of it hurts my business plan here of never having. You're right, obviously. True. So then I'm like, motherfucker, once a week I have to wake up for this alarm. But in a perfect world, like I don't want to wake up, be groggy, have to be like, oh, fuck, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Which you had to do. But I guess it is something, when you travel back and forth, because I was thinking I'm going to Japan, and then the next day I get home and I'm going to take a booking in Denver. So I realized, like, oh, well, I'll have, who knows what my sleep schedule is.
Yeah, you're going to be all over the place.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that's something you've found the hard way. Making plans after a trip.
Yeah. It depends, like, how important the plans would be or stuff. Like, at the moment, it's not too bad. Like, we'll do the Ring of Honor or Indies on the weekend over here. keep in mind the travel is nothing compared to Japan or something. Then, like, I'm about to move into an apartment in a month's time. So then, like, the first, that Monday after getting home on Sunday or something, I might be going to get furniture or whatever, but that's nothing.
But that's not New Zealand to
no,
America,
exactly.
Japan
no, exactly.
To New
it's
Zealand.
Just America.
What's the New Japan to New Zealand? New Japan to New Zealand.
New Japan to New Zealand.
What is that for?
I've done that once, I think. I think it's similar. Yeah, I've only done that once.
Living in New Zealand? Being a New Zealander?
What? Maybe, I feel like I may have said before, but we can go over like...
That you lived in England?
Well, yeah, like how that all kind of came about. Like I've said it in like other interviews and stuff, but they're usually for like Ring of Honor or New Japan, and then they don't want to mention that company, you know.
TNA?
Yeah.
When you work for TNA?
They don't want to mention the fact that the first trip I went to was WWE WrestleMania.
I just bleeped that out, so it's okay.
All right, that's fine then. That's fine. But you know, the trip from New Zealand to Japan is, I want to say it's like 12 hours, roughly. It's around the similar to from here to Japan.
I feel every trip is 12 hours. Any international trip
like
is
that.
12 hours.
Yeah.
Even the America to Scotland that I do a lot just seems to be, it's really 7, but it just... seems to be 12.
Yeah, it is. And even then when I had like when I flew from New Zealand to England, it was 2 12-hour flights. So yeah.
2 12 hours?
Yeah, it's like roughly 24 hours to get there. I mean, I don't know, it might be better if you get a better flight, but when I first went, I was the cheapest one
I could.
And I flew from like Malaysia Airlines to Kuala Lumpur. I lay over there for a few hours and then fly from there to London.
Right.
So
so when this is happening, I guess some context, this is you're still in America. But when this comes out, you're going to be back in Japan.
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on
when
this comes out. So, well, by the time this comes out, people would have seen that I would have showed my face at Power Struggle.
Yeah, and when was that?
So, depending on when this is, that's November 5th. So I'm hoping this comes
out. Yeah, I'll put it out after November 5th.
I hope this comes out after November 5th.
Yeah, I'll wait. I'll sit on it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you are you Chainsaw Charlie? Is that who you are?
Chainsaw Charlie? I don't know who that is.
Oh, they had, New Japan was promoting someone new coming out.
I assume that's me, yeah. I've never heard that term, Chainsaw Charlie. It always happens over here. There's always like terms or names that I just don't.
Oh, that was Terry Funk's name when you were a child in WWE.
Right. That's the other thing. Either nicknames over here or old wrestling. I'm just like,
But they said somebody was coming back.
That'll be me, I guess.
You don't even know what it was. You're not even in the loop.
No, I think I know what the videos are, yeah. So it depends what.
But it was a name.
Switchblade?
Like, Switchblade, that's what it is. Johnny Switchblade?
Just Switchblade, I think.
I think it's fun that this is happening before that's happened.
It feels weird to talk about because I haven't actually got back there yet.
Right.
So it's strange to
I think that's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
Is that it'll come out and then we'll be talking about it and we won't know what's happening.
Exactly.
So this is a great glimpse into like...
Something could happen between now and then and I don't go back. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I mean, touch wood. Still got two matches to go.
And you guys in New Zealand, you call it touch wood.
Is that not a
knock
thing?
On wood?
Knock on wood. Yeah, okay, there you go. Different terms used.
Is it different?
It. Yeah, touch wood, I think, is the one to go with.
So in your head, are you your Switchblade man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I like knives.
Is that going to be your name over there now?
I think it'll be Switchblade Jay White.
They haven't talked to you about being Switchblade man?
Briefly.
What's that going to be? Do you know?
It's the idea behind it is this kind of... Oh, what's the language deal on this? We can
balls.
There we go. It's basically kind of like no bullshit. It's like straight to the point, like aggressive stuff like that. So the original term that the guys gave me that they want to kind of base around was razor sharp strike style, and I didn't want any name or anything associated with to have the word razor because it goes back to kind of Razor Ramon.
That's
Razor Ramon
thinking.
When people would think about that. So we kind of came up with. Switchblade Jay White as well to go if that's similar idea that they gave me.
What if you did? You had the little one hair coming down,
just
like Razor Ramon.
Nah. I don't know. I mean, I could. Who knows? I don't even know what's happening with my hair at the moment. That's something that everyone always brings up.
Where we go. Weird hair.
It's like, obviously in Japan, it was like a long mohawk, and then since then I've been growing it out and hence growing the sides out and. whenever I go and people know me, they're like, oh, what? Especially when I go back to England, and then my friends that kind of knew me when I was training, they're like, what are you doing with your hair? I'm like, well, I'm growing it out and whatnot. Like, why don't you just cut it the same length? Oh, well, it works for wrestling, you know, when I wrist, like, it's wet and it's down and stuff, as opposed to just being like a bowl cut that's like mid awkward length the whole time. So,
which I know is just funny you said that, because I think I made a comment the other night when it was not wet, and then when you went out there, it looked great.
Right, yeah, you know, so it's different, yeah. I mean, it's fine when it's wrestling, it's down, it's wet, but I'm not going to walk around 24/7 with my hair just sopping wet and whipping it around.
So you're on an excursion right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it, right?
Yep.
And like, what in your head, what does that mean to you? I don't know, as a wrestler, were you excited about it? Or
yeah, it was... It's pretty special, because that means with New Japan, if they send you on an excursion, they're really treating you as one of their own guys, like Japanese style.
Because they're flipping the bill for this, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they're flipping the bill for the idea that you're within a company and you're not even wrestling for them. And
I mean, I'm on a contract with them and a salary, and I haven't, I guess in the last year and a half, I would have done two shows for them, which were the LA G1 special shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I had a whole month off at the end of last year for December, so I did at home in New Zealand for Christmas, and they're still paying me, so it's nice.
I mean, that's a real we don't have job security really in professional wrestling.
No, exactly, but
that sounds pretty.
It is there. It's nice, yeah. When you get, especially when you get signed into a contract there and on salary, so
and they don't use you and send you on exactly. vacation for a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pocket money. I mean, obviously, I look at it like I can't take it too easy. I still make sure I go train, and obviously I'm wrestling over here anyway, so just make sure I don't get too lazy and stay on top of it basically.
Was that your mindset coming to America, just don't get lazy and stay on top?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect with it and stuff, and
were you worried about this? I mean, I'd say like, hey, be truthful on this, but mm-hmm. was your worry just like, I just be away from New Japan, or was it like, I want to try as hard as I can to get over in Ring of Honor or America or whatever it was? Or was it just like, I'm going to be here trying to get big, so when I come back, New Japan's kind of bigger?
I think it was more the idea of wanting to get big, so then when I get back, you know, like I got have more fans in the States and stuff, and then maybe some of them will come across the New Japan. Also as well, you talk about getting bigger, also physically getting
That's
bigger
what I meant,
as well.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. So obviously that was one of the main things, because like in New Japan with the whole like heavyweight, junior heavyweight stuff, is, I don't know, it's just kind of whatever you want to be, but I was often referred to as a junior weight, which I didn't want to be one, so I made sure I tried to put on some size. So
I don't want
to
be one of those.
But so that was one of my main goals, was to do that. And they'd asked me, they said to me that they want me to get bigger as well, so... yeah, that was one of
Wait,
the main
so
goals.
Being a junior or a heavy is whatever you want to be?
Well, like, I mean, you get guys like, for example, some of the heavies, like, here's an example, Taguchi. He's heavier than a bunch of the heavyweights, yet he's still like a junior. So, like, he's a junior heavyweight because he kind of chooses to be. And then the guys that are sort of lighter than him, they're heavy because I guess they or the company want them to be.
Like
so
Zach, maybe, Sabre Jr.
Yeah, I guess.
I like how you refer to them as the heavies.
The heavies,
you know,
yeah,
Colt.
The heavies.
He's a heavy. I'll take it.
You might be super heavy over there.
Thank you very much. Oh, I feel it right now too. Unreal. And then, so your excursion has been you living at Alex Shelley's house.
Yeah, I started off in New Jersey with Sumu Sakai and her husband David. I was there for like a month or so, and then for the last half of last year, I was kind of back and forth between there and England a bunch. So I had like some bookings over there, and because that's where I used to live, I had a couple of weeks there when there would be gaps in Ring of Honor and I have a booking in England, I'd get the time, like that extra time over there. So I did that, and I was back and forth, and then eventually, I think it was September last year, did 2 weeks at Shelley's place, then I was back in England, then back to his, and then I had the end of the year in New Zealand, and then since the start of February this year, I've been there pretty much the whole time.
So what have you taken aback from, like, America? I like this idea. It's hard with the Japanese where I'm like, well, what do you think of America? They're like, oh, good food. You know, it's,
yeah,
can't really have a conversation in terms of that.
I mean, the food, I like the fact with food is there's just so much choice pretty much everywhere you go. So that's nice. And it's a decent portion size. The other weird thing is, like, and guys will notice in Japan, and for someone that works out, like, the protein sizes in their foods over there, what they think is like a good amount of protein is like, it's like 5 grams. They've got these little pouches, jelly pouches, and it's like, oh, protein 5,000 supplement. And it's like 5 grams of protein. It's like, well, okay, I got to have 10 of those for something decent. But so that's nice over here, is to have nice proper portions.
What about us as people?
Food. Usually loud. Like, I know people often ask me that. They're like, okay, what are New Zealanders or other people think of Americans? And I think one of the ones is that they're kind of loud. And I would agree that majority of them are kind of just loud and can be over enthusiastic. Whereas it's like a polar opposite to New Zealanders, which are very laid back. Like, I speak quite monotone, and most New Zealanders do as well. It's very chilled out and laid back, as opposed to Americans who will really open their mouths when they talk and just like basically be you, I guess.
Yeah.
As I said that, I've just got the picture of you doing your pose, the bicep and the wide open mouth.
So do you relate to like that island life? Is that what it is?
Like New Zealand?
Yeah.
In terms of being like laid back as such?
I don't know. I mean, tell me about growing up in New Zealand.
Did
you just live on a beach?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, well, I lived in a really nice area. So that was people always, when I moved from there to Portsmouth in England, which is like a lot more dull. And it's just
it's on the water.
I was just going to say, it's technically on the water, on the beach, but like their beach, there's like stones and grey water. Whereas where I lived when I left, like we had like an estuary out back that went under this bridge. There was a wharf you could jump off that would wrap around to this nice beach. And then there's just the whole area I live in. It's just surrounded by like different beaches that are 5-10 minutes drive apart. So it was really nice there. I had nice and easy growing up, I guess. Like nice area, beaches. And when I've been to places like Portsmouth and certain places over here that aren't near the water, they would think where I grew up is just paradise. But I mean, you can't take that for granted. And when you live there, I guess, but also at the same time, you just kind of get bored of it.
Is there shit places in New Zealand? There's got to be.
Yeah, there's shit places there. I mean, there's shit places everywhere. Like if you go into like Auckland City and stuff, there'll be certain places. Like I know where, for example, where Bad Luck Fale grew up, he had it a lot rougher there. So there's shit places everywhere.
When did you move to Portsmouth?
That was...
How old were you?
20. So I literally got there. I left New Zealand when I was 19. I went to a little island called Guernsey in the Channel Islands.
Where is that?
It's in the English Channel between England and France. One of my best mates, he's from there with his family. They moved to New Zealand years ago, and then they moved back there. And then as I like just kind of packed up and left.
This wasn't for wrestling, though.
No, I didn't tell anyone that I wanted to be a wrestler or that I was leaving to be
Guernsey.
A wrestler.
Is it near a wrestling
school? No. It was like my like starting point, because I was like, well, America seems quite difficult to find. Like, I was like, if I'm going to train there, I'm going to need a job. And I don't know, it's just difficult, but I've got a European passport so I can live and work in England. So I thought, maybe there's better opportunities there. So I went to Guernsey just as like a starting point over that side of the world. I did like 10 months there from 2012 till about the 10th of January 2013.
But no wrestling, though, just to see if you could live outside of New Zealand.
Kind of. Like, I don't know if I planned to stay that long. It was just I don't know, it was almost like my gap year type thing. And that was one of the funnest like years of my life in 2012. It was just very relaxed. Like I just kind of worked for cash for my friend's dad or people he knew on the island, because
so you had
such
buddies
a small, yeah, and then obviously I like made friends there and stuff. So at first it is like, that was like the first thing, just completely moving away from home and like different lifestyle. So it was a bit daunting at first, but then got used to that. And then it was daunting again when I went from there to Portsmouth in January, start of January 2013. I took the little car I had, packed that up, took that over on the ferry, and didn't have a place to stay. Staying like a backpackers for a week while I managed to find a...
What does that mean? A hostel? Yeah.
So I was like sharing a room with like four guys in bunks.
Well, you're 22.
No, 29. Yeah, 20. Yeah.
20, that's the way to
do it. No, yeah, it was fine. But it was just, I didn't have a job there. I hadn't told anyone I wanted to do wrestling. The only guy I'd spoken to was UK Kid, because I'd emailed him about coming over. Then I said I was over, and like a few days after being there, I went down to the school there. And
he was in Portsmouth.
Yeah, so that's why I went to Portsmouth, because I knew the school was there.
I thought Mark Sloan's school was in, or maybe not Mark Sloan's school.
Was Mark Sloan's school, is that Andy's now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they both were. And the very first time that I searched for a school, I think it was Andy's, because didn't Andy used to run IPW with, I can't remember the other guy's name. So I think that might have been the one I found, and it said how the school was in Portsmouth. And then when, like, I don't know, like a month later, I came back to look at it again, and I couldn't find the same one.
Because they split.
Maybe, yeah, that must have been when that happened.
He started Rev Pro.
Yeah, and then and the only one I could find, because I was like, oh, I remember it was in Portsmouth, so I searched Portsmouth Wrestling Training School, and I could find was VPW, and I was like, I don't think this is the same one, but... I mean, this is in Portsmouth.
Whatever.
Yeah. The reason I chose, kind of looked around Portsmouth, is because the ferries went from there to Guernsey. And I was like, oh, well, I can go back and forth if I want to easily. But so that's why I kind of looked in Portsmouth. So it's all kind of chance that it worked out that way, really.
So UK Kid was your trainer?
Yeah. So then eventually I went down and met them. Did like a night there and then decided to want to stay there and do that. And he said to me the first night as he's like, so you haven't tried this before? I was like, nah. He's like, don't you think it would have been smart to maybe at least try it before coming to the other side of the world? I was like, yeah, you got a point, but I'm here now. So
what? So tell me about, is that just being young and stupid, or is that like a real, looking back at it?
I don't know. Is it stupid because I'm here now?
Well, but if you look back at the idea of that guy saying that to you.
Oh, he's completely right.
It's completely right. Yeah, exactly. Of course.
If it's not just like a few hours away, I went from New Zealand to England.
That
like,
makes all the sense in the world. Like, why wouldn't you just fly over and do like a training camp for like a weekend and see if you like
it? Yeah, well, you wouldn't just fly over the weekend for there. But like in New Zealand, they're as small as the scene is. I could still have at least tried it there.
Oh, you could have. Yeah, you could have went.
I could have tried in New Zealand if I wanted to.
Gone before a show at least.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like I said, I didn't tell anyone that I was doing it, and I don't know. I just wanted to. I also wanted to get out of New Zealand, something new and.
But that's
fresh.
Also, I feel that's a youth thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, I'm young and whatever. Let's just.
Yeah.
I got 80 years left.
Full of belief and whatnot.
okay, so tell me. So the story, the original story, which you said you shared before, but I'd like to hear it. Right. I haven't heard the full thing.
So how I got back, like, got into it, basically. Is in 2000 I finished school the end of 2010, then
college or high school?
So high school. Yeah. So I was like 18. Finished that. I did a very brief stint in the army. I got in as an officer, and I did like the initial training, and then before they did the extra commissioning course, I left because I didn't enjoy it. And
why did you want to go in the army?
I don't really know. I think it was like, oh shit, what am I going to do out of school? And I was like,
university was never an idea.
I wasn't interested in it. No. Yeah. And then
an army just seemed like the only, otherwise it was just you sitting it on your mom's couch.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's more of like a panic decision. Like, oh, I'm going to find this. And then like before I knew it, I was like further steps along. And next thing I know, I'm in Wairu. I'm like, holy shit, what's happening?
What's that?
Wairu is the place where it was. Sorry, Wairu. That's just where it was training.
Okay.
But did that. And then like I left and came back and didn't really know what I was doing. Started working for my friend's dad doing construction. And then I was laboring at this house one day. And then on the radio, they said they're going to do a competition to send someone to WrestleMania. I was like, oh shit, I always wanted to go to WrestleMania when I was a kid. Like, why not? Like, I haven't watched wrestling in a few years, but I was like, oh, okay, I'll call up and see if it'll work.
When did you get out of wrestling?
I want to say.
Do you remember the era?
2007, maybe just after WrestleMania.
Like, who was it? Like, someone.
I didn't think it was like a reason for the wrestling itself. It's just kind of
the Dudley boys again.
I can't say that. Bubba's around. I know. I don't think they were even there at that point. Cause,
I remember there was like a Royal Rumble where I think it was Ric Flair and Hogan and Sid Justice. And I remember like Sid Justice, I was just like, ugh, I can't stand this guy anymore. And I kind of like got out of it for like a month.
I don't think that happened with me as such. It just kind of. Being at that point, I would have been 2007. I would have been like 15, 16. I just started doing other stuff, I guess.
Mm. Army stuff.
Yeah, well, not even army stuff. Then that would have been going out stuff. More. Yeah, probably wasn't. It wasn't cool to watch wrestling, I guess. But so from like I guess mid 2007, and then this is start 2011 now. In what would have been, I guess. I think it would have been March because then Mania's around April.
Okay, the radio's playing. They say, hey, who wants to come from New Zealand to America?
So I call up and I managed to get through to do like this competition. You had to do a debate with someone else about whatever topic they gave you. I won that debate and then they put you in a draw. And then they did this for multiple times.
What was the debate?
It was about chick flicks are the best thing in the world.
So just a pop culture thing.
They'll give you a random thing.
Or did it by luck that you won that?
I think the reason I won was because they we used to have these, like, I think you have them over here, like on the receipts from like supermarkets or whatever. They used to be called super dockets. and docket is another, is that a name for it over here? Receipt is a docket.
Yeah.
Okay, but like Superdoc, and they had like vouchers on the back and stuff. And one of them was for back when, you know, you still hired out DVDs or video games. There's a place called Video Easy, and they'd always have 2-for-1 like new releases or whatever.
Yeah.
And so when I had to argue that for that, it was the chick flicks were the best thing in the world. And I think I said something along the lines of like, oh, if you've got like a taking a girl out or you're having a girl around or something, it's cheap if you just take one of the super dockets down, you can get 2 for the price of 1. So they're like, oh, I love how he pitched Video Easy, blah, blah, blah. So they said that I won that.
Local reference.
Yeah, exactly. You win. Exactly. You know, people can relate to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I got in the drawer. They did that multiple times every day for the next, I don't know, 2-3 weeks or whatever. And then, like, oh, we're going to be doing the draw this day. And I was back at the same building site. It was actually quite lucky we even had reception, because at my boss's house we would often be. There was no reception there. But anyway, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to do it at 8 a.m. So I go and I was like, finished what I was doing for a bit. I've been working for an hour already. Go and sit down next to the radio and just get my phone out. And they're like, okay, we're dialing the number. So you hear this beep, 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 and go silent for a second. My phone starts vibrating in my hand and this number shows up. Like, I was just... I don't know, I was just in shock. I was like, oh shit, answered. And then I was like, is this ZM? The radio station was ZM. And then they're like, Jamie. Yeah, and obviously then they said, you've won. And I was like, got up and started yelling and jumping around. The other guy I was working with, he's like, this is bullshit. He's like, how have you got this? So so I got that. And then I took my mate, the one that lived in Guernsey. He was in New Zealand.
Was that New Jersey?
So that was Atlanta. So that was 2 years before New Jersey. So okay. This is 27. So we probably one of like the worst WrestleManias as well.
Really?
In like recent history. But the main event was like The Miz, John Cena.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But man, it was still amazing to go
was
to.
Was that your first time to America?
Yeah. Yeah. It was first time.
And
so
they
did
they put you in a nice hotel and stuff?
Yeah. We're in like the Marriott Marquis down in Atlanta in the city there on like the 40 something floor. So all flights, tickets, accommodation, all paid for Mania, Access, and Hall of Fame. I remember, I think it was at the Hall of Fame ceremony, watching Shawn Michaels speaking and going in. It was kind of like remotivated me, because I always wanted to do it when you're younger. I think every kid does, and they watch it, and then, you know, you'd be realistic and think it can't happen. So,
do you think the idea of being around Mania and all that, and like that community? Because every year when we do this Mania stuff, it's just like you just see all these like wonderful wrestling just heads coming out, and there's just so much like positivity, and I don't know if so. Like that's like contagious almost.
I think it is, like I was at Mania this year, and just there's just such a cool energy around, and just you can't help but being like motivated by it.
I wonder if a little bit says like why wouldn't I, or I don't know if it's I gotta be a part of this, but like why wouldn't I be a part of this?
My thinking was, I remember the main thing I thought was, well, I never thought that I would even go to WrestleMania, and like this has happened, like, you know, take as a sign or however. So I was like, well, if this can happen, then why can't I? Why, if I actually do everything I can, what's the reason I can't? So then that kind of, from there, like triggered a little plan in my head. And
you had no other goals or anything, right?
Say at that point, not really. There wasn't anything I really wanted to do. I always used to want to be like a cop. I think that's how the army thing started, because I was applying to go in the police, but it takes so much longer.
Did you want to be a cop, or were you
I used to want to be a cop, and who knows, however things set up, that could always still be an option. But but there was nothing else that I was really like passionate about, whereas when I used to watch wrestling, it was, oh man, I want to be a wrestler, be a wrestler. So then I went back to we went back and then the rest of that year I did like my in my head, I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to have to work as well. So I'll get my personal training certificate, because that was something I actually did enjoy. So I did that. That was actually, I cut my end of my finger off at the same time as well. It's a little random.
Is that a fake finger?
No, they managed to sew it back on.
Oh my God.
As you can see, they can't straighten it. You can see the two ends of the scar are there, and it like wraps right around.
Wow. And what, a weight?
No, that was doing construction, and it got crushed. We used to stand concrete panels for like building structures.
It fell off?
It got squashed between. We had to pick it up and rotate it from its side to like stand on its end, and try to explain it as simply as I can. The crane hook that we used to like rotate it, my finger got jammed in between the crane hook. So as the guy lowered the panel but didn't lower the rope that was attached, as he lowers that, the rope went tight and my finger was in there, and it just slowly squished through. And like somehow that tiny bit was still attached and blood was still getting to the end of it, so they could save it. Yeah.
The pain? Unreal or no?
It was like if you squeeze your finger harder and harder, and then it just kind of went numb. Everything went numb, like in shock or whatever. It was weird. And then like a few moments after, I remember kind of like squatting down, just holding my hand up, and I had a glove on, so I couldn't see exactly what
probably
happened.
Probably for the best, right?
I think so, yeah. And then I remember going and sitting in the foreman's office, and it started to like kind of throb, and then on the ride to the hospital, it started to hurt a bit. And I walked in, and the lady says, I need help. I think I've cut my finger off. And she's like, okay, are you going to faint? I was like, I don't know. I don't think so, but this has never happened before, so I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know how to go by these situations. So, yeah, then they took me through and cut part of the glove open and put local anesthetic in, and they said, oh, we're going to cut the rest of the glove off. Your finger might not be attached inside, so, and so it's up to you if you want to watch. I was like, okay, I won't watch, and I turned my head away, and as soon as they started to do it, I looked back at it. And
you
then,
have to look, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, because at this point, I can't really feel it. Like, I can see them doing stuff, but I can't feel a thing because they've put the local anesthetic injection. That hurts. That really hurt.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I look over and my finger's just like hanging off, and it was dangling. Real weird. Yeah, eventually once they like kind of sorted me out, the weird thing was she had to hold it back in place and wrap it up to like that for surgery. So watching her grab the end of my finger, and obviously for everyone listening, it's the last joint on my right middle finger,
right,
so it's not just the tip.
If you have a finger of thirds, it's the top third.
Exactly, yeah, it's like the whole third. And like watching her just grab it and put it back in place like a little jigsaw puzzle. Oh. And I can't feel it, but I can just see her just pushing this.
Do you have feeling in it now?
Yeah, in the end, it's almost in the end of it, it's almost slightly sensitive because when went through rehab, they had a wire that went over that last joint and stuck out the end of my finger.
Yeah.
So where that like eventually got pulled out, it's just kind of extra sensitive on the end there. But now I can feel it. Anything I can't really strength is fine. Only thing I can't do is strain it properly.
Yeah.
As
but
you
just
can see.
Funny, I was about to make fun of finger rehab, but you know I fucked up my finger. I had surgery on it, and I did.
Suck, man.
I did finger rehab also.
Yeah, it was like 3 months. I had 3 months off. I was getting paid by ACC, which is like accident claims or whatever in New Zealand. The one positive
story of your life, exactly. Is getting paid into.
the one positive of it was I was doing this personal training course at the time. So for like the two of the four like papers, I could just study at home because I didn't have anything else to do, so that was that was kind of nice, but
yeah,
would have rather not cut my finger off, I guess.
So
I don't know where we got to there.
It was great.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but I want to get to the idea of becoming a young boy in a Japanese dojo.
Yeah,
so you're training at the place.
So I'm in England, start training there, do like a year.
Did you make any progress? Like, were you like, hey, I think I'm okay at this?
Or? Yeah, well, kind of from, without like being big headed, kind of from the start, like, I picked everything up pretty easily. Like, when I went in, Tom, the UK kid, he's like, he's like, have you not done this anywhere before? I was like, no, this is the first night. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, he was quite surprised. And yeah. The other guys were as well.
Were you surprised at how bad other trainees are?
Yeah, and I still am to this day. I still am. When someone like watches wrestling, you watch it, and then you don't know how to run the ropes.
Yeah.
Like, that was, for me, it was simple. And then, like, I was like, well, how is this hard? Like, I've watched them do it on TV. I can run the ropes.
I remember Sunset Flip was a big one for me, where they're like, all right, we're going to teach you how to do a Sunset Flip. And I was like, yep, this is how you do it.
Yeah,
I've seen it a million times.
Exactly. Exactly. I could do that. And there was one that's, like, up and overs. Some, like, trainees struggle with that. And I remember they're like, oh, can you try to do this? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I did, like, perfect. And they're like, oh, wow. I'm like, oh, yeah. is that like a... I don't know. I've said that
for me personally, of like when I went to wrestling school, I just assumed there was going to be like a thousand, like in my head, it was like a power plant, like 1,000 amazing athletes ready to go. And weirdly enough, I was the only one.
Yeah. Like when I went in though, I was the like only newer one. But then once I met like the class of the beginner guys, mixed them with the fact that wrestling often attracts some of the trainees, they're not athletes. Is a good way to put it, and so there. So that was quite interesting to see. So then when we'd have like open weekends, it would always be interesting who would turn up, and it would always be kind of amusing seeing some guys. I'm trying to think of next. Like one guy tried to do a drop down, and I remember when he dropped down, he'd just collapse with his like hands by his side and have his face flat into the mat, and it's like, okay, you got to get up now. Like he just wasn't watching, just lie on the mat, like he's like trying to hide or something.
Yeah.
Things like that. But so that was always interesting. But I always play sports when I was younger and stuff. So I was just got to be
quick progression.
I was coordinated and I'd watched it, so like I could pick that stuff up. So we did that, and I worked for All Star doing the summer camps out there. in my first year, so that was nice. You get quite a bit of a experience. Did that for a year, and that's when I met Devitt or Finn Balor.
What did the Butlins camps call you? Did you have a fun name or anything?
Jay White, but that always, obviously, Brian would always put like a weird nickname on the front of it, like. He called me, it's meant to, like, obviously the indigenous people of New Zealand, or native people in New Zealand, are Māori people.
Are what people?
Māori. M-A-O-R-I. If you were to say how it's spelled, it's like Maori or Māori.
Gotcha, Māori.
You kind of roll that R. Whereas like Brian Dixon, he's like, yeah, we're going to call you Maui J. White. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm white and stuff, but I've also got your New Zealand flag, because they'd always have the flags come out. He didn't get me a New Zealand flag. He got me a Māori flag, which is like, it's like red and black, and no one anywhere outside of New Zealand would be able to identify what it means. But I was like, sure. And there would be like Jumpin' Jay White, and what are some of the other ones? It's like All Action Jay White. And then the best one, though, actually, our good friend Marty Skill came up with it maybe in my second year there, because he used to be calling me Jumpin' Jay White for whatever reason. And then one day we sat there before doing one of the camps, and Marty's just writing something down for the announcer what my name's going to be. And it turned out to be Jumpin', Jammin', Jigglin' Jay White. So then half the time I'd come out to the song, It's Like That, and I'd be dancing a little bit and just
it's
having
like
fun with
that.
It.
Exactly. And that's the so way.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
still so, using those songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Marty gave me that one. So that was, a little nickname I had for a summer there.
Okay, and then Fergal came around.
Yeah, Fergal came around in February 2014, and... I don't think he really saw me wrestle. It was just more of like work ethic, doing stuff around the shows and helping with the shows.
Which
and,
shows?
Our own ones. We had our own ones. We did three of our own. And Tom,
who's our own?
VPW.
VPW.
Varsity Pro Wrestling.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So we had him in our shows, and then that's how I met him. And he just said on the last day or whatever, he gave me his card, said to stay in touch.
He has a card?
Yeah, he had a card. I've still
nerd.
Got it somewhere. Yeah, I saved it for
card?
That. Yeah.
Let him know what a nerd he is.
Yeah. There's a picture of him like looking up at him as he's staying on the ropes, and it's got Prince Devitt, New Japan
Christ.
Thing on it.
All right.
I think a lot of the guys have them, to be honest, out there.
I mean, people ask me all the time, and I'm like, I don't have a fucking right. business card. Wait, just email me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called Facebook. That's my business card.
I think that's what you should go with as well. Yeah.
Just a business card that says it's called Facebook.
Yeah, and then he got in touch. He went back to New Japan, spoke to them in Farley. Then Farley's the one that got in touch with me. Spoke about going out there maybe. They then came over to England for a Rev Pro show, and then I went and met them up in London. So it was Farley, Devitt, and Nakamura. And that's actually the same night I met Sabre Jr. as well.
But that's a thing that there's probably 1,000, if not more, 10,000 wrestlers that want to do, right?
Yeah, when people ask me for advice and stuff, I always tell them, you got to put yourself in every opportunity available to you, even if you don't think there's anything to come of it or whatever.
But you weren't like, hey, Fergal, can I be in the New Japan dojo?
No.
I mean,
no.
You were just nice and around
no,
him?
No, like, our like training and stuff was very much WWE-based and stuff. That was kind of the goal and stuff. I'd seen a tiny bit of New Japan, but I didn't watch New Japan at that point or anything. That was more like I said, it's the reason he kind of, I think he went and mentioned me to them is because he could see that I'd fit in with the young boy style of doing all the other jobs and having the right attitude. That was the main point, is my attitude. It wasn't my in-ring. I think he might see me wrestle a tiny bit. And at this point, I've been wrestling for like a year and a half. So it's not like I'm amazing or anything. But yeah, so it was more my attitude that he went back and spoke about. I think Farley told me his exact words that he went back and he said, was it with you Kiwis? I just met a guy in England. You guys always are just doing all the work. And Farley had no idea who he was talking about.
So when you see all the work, like in your head, what were you doing? You were just putting up the ring and working hard?
Yeah, I mean, there was other guys that put up the ring, but I was never one that if we had a show, I was like, oh, no, I've got to work. I've got to this. Like, I made sure that wrestling was a priority and, like, work was fine. It was handy being a personal trainer there at the same time.
So it wasn't necessarily the idea of, like, you were, like, a little minion at the show, but just that you were wrestling-focused.
Yeah, I was and I did it myself, though. Like, people would turn up late, and then, like, the days that we got to travel and stuff, I would be one to, like, drive the ring van, even though I eventually got, like, I got a fine for it because I didn't have insurance on it, so, yeah. Stuff like that, and, like, pick him up in the morning or whatever if they need to go to a shop or this and that, and I don't know. To me, it was just normal out there. Like, you just got to... Stuff days. Needs to be done, then let's do it. I was always the main one that would get posters going for I was like the driving force behind that, putting posters up and down around Portsmouth. And like if we had one in a place called Basingstoke, I would always be the one to drive up there and put the posters up. And not that he would have even seen that, but it just happened to...
It's in your heart.
Exactly. And I guess he kind of noticed that and, to an extent. And he went back and spoke to New Japan about it. And so, that's,
so you just made the move. So you made the move, which probably isn't hard for you, right?
It wasn't. Like, I mean, at the time, I had a girlfriend that I was living with at the time, so that was like that was a bit of a rough.
Is that an automatic breakup?
It wasn't straight away. Eventually, it was. And then it was on and off and on and off. But that's been done for a little.
In your head, how is that going to work, though? Like,
you I mean, like- I don't know. I thought it could have, but. I don't know. I think she very much saw it as me leaving to go to Japan as leaving her. When I was like, "Well, like, am I going to pass up this massive opportunity of my dream, like, for someone like to stay in Portsmouth and then just be stay with you and maybe be miserable in a life that I'm, you know, that is doing just a job for the sake of doing a job."
You didn't give up on that relationship.
No, I didn't. We made it for a little bit, and then I mean, it's hard being away. It's real hard. So you can't. It's I would never expect anyone. To the one that, like, I went away for 4 months to start with, came back for 2 weeks, and it's gone for another three. So after like the 5 month going being away there, we kind of caught it quits, and then like later in the year we got back together, and then we broke up again like last year, whatever. So I would never like expect anyone to have to put up with that or like ask it of them as such. But I mean, it was difficult because I was with her like when I first got to England before the Japan stuff started happening. So I was just kind of already involved, but left.
But when you go to Japan, it's like, well, I assume you're like, this is probably my future for a long time now.
Yeah, well, that's
right. Yeah. Were you like, I'm going to become a Japanese man now? Essentially,
pretty much. Yeah, it was at the same time. At that point, though, it was so hard for me to get any information about what was going to happen. Like, I was asking Farley, try ask Farley questions about like, what am I coming over to train or this, but I didn't want to. Me asking, there was like one time I asked him something. He's like, "Oh, hey man, if you don't want it, there's a lot of." I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like, "No. That's I'm just you know, I've got like I said, I've got like I'm leaving my whole life here, and I don't know even know what I'm coming over like for. Like, am I training? Do I get paid? I'm fine if I don't get paid. I'm just curious. Like, do you know how long I'm here for? Like,
so a little bit. You thought maybe you're just gonna be there for 2 months or something.
Eventually, they said just before I left, like, oh, because when they want to sort out flights, they said it's like, oh, from this date to this date, and so I bought my own flight over there. The first flight, which was like over in January, then back in May, I was like, okay, so I bought that myself. Whereas like a lot of the other guys get it all paid for them.
Yeah,
these bastards like Finley, you know, whose fathers have been in the business.
Well, your father hasn't been in the
business.
He had all his fingers, so
yeah,
he was sought after.
That's true. Not guys who had come into contact with his dad, I guess, snapping thumbs and stuff, isn't he? But
yeah,
you've heard those. Yeah,
I saw that documentary.
Yeah, he told me about it earlier this year. Actually, it's quite interesting. But
could have snapped your finger off, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I just didn't really know what I was going over for, and then like I thought once they said I was going to be there 4 months, I was like, okay, I'm supposed to be going over to train. Like, there's no way I'm going to go over and have a match for them. I think the original idea was for us to just go over and. Basically train and do the because when the young boys start there they don't have a match within 4 months. They do usually it's like minimum of 8, maybe a little bit longer, but then again those are always guys that are the Japanese
from
boys
scratch.
Exactly. Yeah. So because I already wrestled, so I went over and then they kind of saw that, oh, he can have a match. So then I had my first one against Alex Shelley after like 30 days of being there. It was meant to be against Tanaka, who's just gone over show who's just gone back over and won the IWGP tag bouts, but meant to be against him, but Bobby Fish had flight problems, so they changed the card and ended up being against Alex Shelley in my first one, which worked out great for me because it allowed me to do more as a young lion, whereas their like skill set's very limited because I had a match with him, like someone who's not a young lion, and he kind of said to Gato, he's like, oh, can we do this stuff, can we do this, and then so like for example I could use the missile dropkick and like a DDT, which no young boys ever do. So that was kind of handy. Yeah.
And so do you think, like, not that you know, but were you, like, trying to peek around being like, was anybody like, ooh, wait, this guy's all right?
Well, I didn't even, like, a little bit. Like, when I came back, I wanted to know, oh, was that okay or whatever? And, like, Nakamura at that point as well, because I met him in England. So he was really nice. Like, I remember before the first match, he, like, took a picture of me and, like, sent it to, he wanted to send it to Fergal. And then, yeah, I just like asked anyone who watched and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, no, yeah, did good. Like, I think people were pretty happy with it. But man, I was so nervous that day. Like, I was just kind of happy that I'd got it done. So,
do you still have that picture saved?
Oh, I didn't say it was Nakamura that took it.
Well, did Fergal send it to you?
Oh, no.
I mean,
no,
listen, in 20 years, that's going to be a picture you want right before your first New Japan match.
I mean, I've got pictures from the match, I guess, but okay. I don't know. Maybe Fergal's, no, I doubt he's got it saved.
Yeah, let's hope. Maybe it's...
I don't know. Maybe he's weird. He's got a saved picture of me.
So of course.
Oiled out of business card. Shaved head and black trunks. Yeah. Yeah.
He gives it away. So do you like that? Like, do you like the Japanese? I mean, did you become inside the Japanese culture? Have you become accustomed to it? Which is weird because now you're going to be living in America while you're going to be a full-timer in Japan.
Yes. I mean, I guess I'll be there a lot of the time. Not as much as before, but. Yeah, you do get, it's like a shock at first, but then you start to get used to it. There's just a lot of like flaws in terms of using logic over there. It's just,
what does that mean?
There's like, for example, say if someone was to like, I don't know, if you're getting to like a car, like who's going to have the front, or like if you wanted to pick somewhere to eat. And let's say you're walking through a door, here's a simple one. It's like, oh, you go. No, you go. No, you go. You go. And you stand here for 5 minutes saying, no, please, please, please. Like, someone just walked through the door. It doesn't, like, okay, we get it. You're not being an asshole and walking in front of them, but now you're just standing here for ages.
But the best part is that they'll be like, yeah, there's a lot of flaws about America. It's probably. Just like, they all just walk through the door.
Yeah, it's just, they're very, very polite. They're probably the most, like, polite and respectful people I've ever.
Which you can understand from being a Kiwi, right? Or should I not make... being like relaxed the same as polite?
It's not the same as over. It's not the same as over there. No, relax. So the difference would be like, it's like it doesn't just someone go through. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna take offense that someone walked through the door in front of me. But they've got over there obviously all their old cultural ways and stuff. So just like random things like that. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. But yeah, that's you get used to it and stuff. And I tried to learn a bit more of the language. And I was over here as well, but it's a lot easier when you're around Japanese-speaking people as opposed to being over here trying to learn from a textbook.
I mean, when you were in the middle of like being, let's say like 5 months or a year into it, were you saying to yourself like, I'll be living here for the rest of my life?
There was points where I thought, I was like, oh man, like especially once I like broken up with a girlfriend at the time and stuff, I was like, gee, I could end up like living here and stuff. And I remember thinking that.
Were you okay with that?
I think I was at the time.
I mean, you still don't know what you're going to do.
No, exactly. That's the thing.
Right, because now you're here. I mean,
I'm
going to be here for the rest of your
life. I'm going to be set. The idea is to be based in the States, but I mean, I'm going to be over there and back and forth a lot. I don't think, now I've had a bit more experience, I don't think I'd want to live there. I like Western life a bit too much, I think.
Say that again?
I like Western life a bit too much.
Western life.
Western.
They said I like wasting my life.
Yeah, same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's very compact over there, house wise, and just like people and stuff. So,
what about New Zealand?
Like, New Zealand's nice. There's just nothing happening there. There's no buzz.
There's something about home, though, right?
Yeah,
I
eventually.
Say this because I won't leave Chicago. Like, I'm just
right. No, maybe eventually, but I don't know. I find there's some people like that really like sticking around home. Then others that just kind of, I don't like me. I just wanted to get away. I just been in the same place for 19 years. Well, I say 19 years, it's not like people stay in the one place for longer.
Right.
But
I leave every, you know, I'm on the road constantly.
Yeah, that's true, exactly.
But I mean, maybe it's because Chicago's so centralized.
I was just going to say, also New Zealand's way out of the way and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, I just wanted something a bit more and different than the same old around there. So that was why I wanted to leave there, I guess. But maybe I'll go back there eventually. But like I said, like in the Osprey, actually, he was there for like a month and a bit. Right. Recently, and he said himself, he's like, oh, at first I loved it. Then after like a week and a half, I was like, all right, nothing happens in this place. Like, there's nothing going on. There's
right, he turned into the mayor of New Zealand and Australia for a day, didn't he? Of Australia and New Zealand wrestling.
He was causing shit with some promoter. Use that term loosely down there. I can't remember the guy's name. Did you see the video of that?
No.
Get a hold of either of Will, I'm sure, because they had it saved. He like... I'd see him posting about like, oh, I'm going to grow this scene and this and that and this and that.
I did see him talk shit on a promoter.
Where there's that.
But not a video, just a text.
So he posted about like, I think the promoter was like supposedly handing out contracts or something like this. And I don't know if he didn't pay people, I think. But then, so Will put a post up about that and the guy made a reply in a video, sat in his car and it's like a few minutes long, and it's amazing.
Oh,
really? It's awesome. The guy's just going off at Will, like, who the fuck is Will Ospreay? No one's going to remember him in 3 years anyway, like this and that. He's just, it was.
I've been promoting in this town for 24 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it's worth getting a hold of that one, because the guy, like, then the guy, like, deleted, I think, his page and the video himself, but like Will and them downloaded it, so they had it, the video.
Nothing like indie wrestling drama.
Oh, it's awesome. Wrestling drama is amazing. The stuff that some people get like bummed out about is just, it's just, yeah. I find a lot of delusional people for wrestling.
Mm.
Yeah, not everyone, but there's always those that are entertaining.
No, I mean, of course. I don't know if it attracts. I don't know if it attracts them, or it's because I've been in wrestling and you've been in wrestling for so long that we don't know the other worlds to know that the delusional people in those worlds.
Yeah,
so we
maybe
only know of delusional people in wrestling.
Maybe. I still want to say it's worse. I still want to say it's worse. Yeah. I mean, you've done this like 3 times the length I have, or whatever. But yeah.
It's bad. I don't, yeah, it is bad. It draws a certain type of people sometimes.
Yeah, it does, and it's but it makes for great entertainment.
Yeah, I agree. All right, where are you at on the internet?
Twitter, Instagram at jwhitenz or nz, however you pronounce that letter. Mm-hmm. Nz short for New Zealand. So jwhitenz.
Twitter, Instagram, that's it.
Twitter, Instagram, and Pro Wrestling Tees as well.
Pro Wrestling Tees store.
Yeah,
great. I mean, so I kind of want to get. It's so. You're just so young in wrestling and doing so well, it's hard to like get this overlying scope of like emotions. But I just looking at me to looking at you, it just feels like the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
You're probably so young, not young in it, but just so like there's so much exciting stuff coming in the future for you.
There is for me, yeah, especially at this point and stuff. Like, they're not like all the stuff I've kind of been working towards over the last 3 years since starting with New Japan, it's kind of about to really kind of start happening as such.
Off,
yeah, like, I mean, it's. Don't get me wrong, it's been great in Ring of Honor and stuff, but the whole, I guess the whole point once you start in New Japan is to get to that main roster. So you do that. I did the year and a half of the Young Boy stuff and constantly waiting to leave there, get the excursion, and then like loving and enjoying it, but at the same time, okay, I'm ready to get to what the original goal was as well. So,
and as this has been released, I mean, you had the match,
I guess. I don't know if I would have had a match
you
yet.
Had the debut.
Yeah,
the
debut. Yeah, was just show my face, whatever, just wave to people, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens
in my
there.
Head, it's the switchblade combs that like kids have. Do you know those?
Come out, come
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't take a proper knife out probably, so yeah. Just have a comb. But yeah, whatever happens there, show my face. And yeah, I guess that'll be the kind of start of whatever the next,
a whole new journey.
Exactly, whatever the next wall holds.
So we'll have you on in 8 years and you'll tell that story.
Yeah, hopefully I'm still going in 8 years.
You're still alive.
Yeah, touch wood again.
Touch wood. Thanks, buddy. All right, kind of cool that we talked before that happened. It did happen. It went well, and he has set up a huge match. And that's him. He was Switchblade. That's the guy, in case you were wondering. Good little talk. We'll do another one next week. Before we get out of here, let's get into some plugs and upcoming events. All right, the best way that you can support, the place where you can get that children's book, Wrestling Dreams, cultmerch.com, also digitalcult.com, Twitter and Instagram at Colt Cabana, Facebook /AOW podcast, also /Colt Cabana. My storytelling podcast, there's 3 new ones, season 4, they're really good. It's called Pro Wrestling Fringe, plus past archives of the show, they're ad-free, and they're on StitcherPremium.com/Colt. Use the code Colt, get a free month. ColtWrestling@gmail.com is my very public email. Maybe a promoter will want to put me on your upcoming show or convention. I have a YouTube channel. I also have a website, ColtCabana.com. I got a P.O. box there. Send me something fun. Upcoming November 17th, 18th, and 19th, December 15th and 16th, San Antonio, Dallas, Oklahoma, New York City, Philadelphia, ROHWrestling.com. I'll be there doing some commentary. Wednesday, November 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, live at NorthBar.com. That's the comedy show with Marty DeRosa and myself. Friday, November 24th, Cleveland, Ohio, AIWrestling.com. Saturday, November 25th, Chicago, Illinois, AAWrestling.com. Friday and Saturday, December 8th and 9th, Brooklyn, New York, Rahway, New Jersey, WrestleProOnline.com. December 24th, December 30th, January 3rd, Tokyo, Japan, DDTPro.com. Saturday, January 6th, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Facebook /First Wrestling. Friday, January 12th, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Facebook /River City CW. Saturday, January 13th, Austin, Texas, WrestleCircus.com. All right, that is the show for this week. Huge thank you to you guys at home for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks to Jay White for being on the show. Thanks to Kip Guy Jeff and Stu Stone, Kid Russell and Matt Jenkins with the music, Dane Miller and Creaky with the tech. Thanks to our sponsors, HighSpots.com, a VOD service that's amazing, Kevin Steen's show, $5 Wrestling, PWGs, plus AMA knee pads, gear, masks, wrestling rings, 1HourTees.com. They help run ProWrestlingCrate.com. They help run ProWrestlingTees.com. And they also have a store in Chicago. You can go there. TweakedAudio.com/Colt. Earbuds that I use get over 30% off and free shipping just because you listen to this show. I made videos. Some of you guys got it. I made videos for children. I think it was weird because I was talking to the camera like they were children. And I have a feeling that some people said they wanted their videos for adults, but I just assumed they were kids. So I was like, hey, buddy. And then I'm hey buddying like a 25-year-old. But I just appreciate that if that's the case. So you can still get that. Buy a book and I'll make a little video and I'll give you a little inspirational message. I was churning them out. It was 1 a.m. I got home from Ring of Honor from Florida. It was 1 a.m. and I started doing those videos. And happy to do them. Happy to do them. I think that's great. I feel this is less. I mean, I'm right. Of course, I'm trying to make money. I'm putting out a book. But I also love the idea of this weird connection with kids. And that's important to me. I love that aspect of this connection with the kiddies, with the little kiddies, as Tony Atlas would say on MTV's True Life, I'm a pro wrestler. We're doing it for the kiddies, baby. And I'm doing this for you. All right, this has been The Art of Wrestling. For Colt Cabana, I'm Colt Cabana. Thanks.
Yeah, I also just want to make a shout out to the Texas Cat, if you remember him.
Texas Cat?
Texas Cat from Pittsburgh. You don't remember?
Wait, hold on. I do, but I don't. Did we have a moment with this guy?
The guy that picked, I can't remember his name, he picked us up and drove us when we did that show. And I said, oh, I better text this cat.
Yes.
And you're like, who, the Texas Cat? And that became his name. And that's the guy that I told you, he gave me a lift back. He told me he was like a paranormal investigator in his spare time and all this, as well as being a nurse. And that he knocked his friend out with a super kick when he was drunk. So that was, yeah, Texas Cat.
I'm glad we got that in, the shout out to the Texas Cat.
Yeah, I don't even know if he knows we're talking about him. But
for sure not.
No.